We just finished 6 weeks called World Change. We were looking at people that God has used, ordinary people that God used to do extraordinary things. We're transitioning into another 5-6 week series, and we're going to hear from people here in the church. And we're not saying they've done extraordinary things, but they're seeking the Lord. And so we're going to hear this morning from Marcus Rostro and what God's placed on his heart. And so I'm excited, and I know that God's going to speak through him to us. And so to prepare our hearts to hear what God has for us, I'm just going to invite you to join me in a word of prayer, and then I'm going to turn it over to Marcus. Let's pray. Our Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus, the captain of heaven's hosts and the captain of our salvation. And we come in his name, in his strong name, the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue confess, that Jesus alone is Lord. And so God, we come now humbly before you, declaring that truth. And God, I ask right now for Marcus that you would speak through him, that we would hear only your words. Father, anything that is not of your word would fall away and we would hear you alone. So God, this morning we invite you here, open up your word to our heart and our mind, use Marcus and speak to us through him. Father, we praise you for this goodness and kindness. We offer ourselves now to the teaching of your word, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
As always, I'd like to thank everyone for being here this morning and allowing me to share with you guys. You know, it's been a while since the last time I've shared. It's been about 10 months, and a lot has happened within those 10 months. One of those things being that I got a new job. And I got a new job, and and it hasn't been the easiest transition for me. You know, it's been very humbling. You know, it's been a very humbling experience. You know, it's hard going from thinking you know something to realizing, you know, you don't really know much that much. You know what I mean? But God has definitely been growing me in my trust, you know, in him as my provider. You know, it's not through my own strength. It's not through my own abilities that I do what I do or that I have what I have. You know what I mean? So God has definitely been growing me in that area in my life. And you know, another thing that came to pass was that you know, I lost my grandma. You know, and you know, my grandma, she had a huge impact on the family. You know, my grandma had a huge impact on me. You know, she was a very loving grandma, and you know, her love was far-reaching. Her love was pure. And, you know, she was a unique woman. You know, she was a unique woman. She was the kind of woman that without words kind of demanded respect or received respect. You know, she just had that presence about her. And, you know, and my grandma, she would never back down from any situation. You know, that's the kind of woman that she was. You know, and I remember during my incarceration, you know, her and my grandpa who is here right now, they used to travel miles and miles and travel hours to these far distant prisons to come see me. You know, and you know, it got to the point where my grandma was in a wheelchair and she would still come see me, you know. And that's the kind of love that my grandma had for me. You know, that she would do that, those things for me, going through the metal detectors and all that nonsense, you know, just to come see me. And you know, so I also remember during my incarceration that there were times when you want to talk to somebody, you know, you want to talk to somebody else besides the same people you've been talking to for years, you know, and so you want to talk to somebody who knows you, somebody who loves you and cares about you, and sometimes you want to call the family and they're busy, you know, they're working or maybe they just don't want to accept my call, I don't know, but my grandma would always accept my call. And not only would she accept my call, but, you know, not only would she give me conversation, you know, she would talk my ear off and I had to call her back, you know, so I could say what I wanted to say, you know. and you know, my grandma, she was a very generous woman. She's loved dearly, you know. But the main thing that I want to share with you guys about my grandma was that she loved God, you know, she loved God. She prayed over our family faithfully. You know, and I'm a product of her prayers through God. And you know, so it's hard to lose a loved one. You know, it's an extremely difficult thing. As a matter of fact, we just lost my father-in-law this past Sunday. But you know what? God is my rock. God is my strength. God is my comforter. And you know, I know that, I know that my grandma, she's no longer suffering. You know, my grandma, she's no longer in pain. You know, she's with our Heavenly Father, and I praise God for that, you know. And God put it in my heart today to share with you guys that if anybody here is struggling with the loss of a loved one, you know, whether it be recent or in the past, you know, take peace. You know, we have a loving God, we have a just God, and we have a forgiving God. You know, I remember, about a year after I had got out of prison, I lost my friend. You know, my crime partner, the one I went to prison with, they found him hanging in the cell. And you know what? A lot of people can say this about him. A lot of people can say that about him. But nobody knows. Nobody knows what was going through his mind those last moments of his life. And nobody has the right to condemn. Nobody has the right to say this person went there or this person went there. You know, only God knows the hearts of men. You know, only God knows the minds of men. You know, only God knows. And you know what God put it in my heart to share with everybody here that, like I said, if anybody here is struggling with the loss of a loved one, you know, take peace. You know, we have a just God. We have a loving God. And, you know, we have a forgiving God. This last thing I want to share with you guys before I get into the message. It's something I'm kind of embarrassed about, you know. Hey, I'm not kind of embarrassed, you know. I am embarrassed about this, you know. But you know what? I'm gonna confess right now before you guys. I'm gonna share with you guys, and glory be to God. You know, so back in April, you know, I almost threw in the towel. You know, I almost turned my back and went backwards in my walk with Christ. You know, I had hardened my heart. I made up my mind, you know, and I was about to take a walk in the flesh. I was about to take a huge step back. And you know, we're not to go backwards. We're to go forward. Me and my wife, we have been through a lot. You know, some of you guys may know our story. Some of you guys may not know our story, but we've been through a lot. No, actually, more like I put my wife through a lot. You know, and even though I'm a surrendered man of God now, even though I'm a loving husband now, you know, that hurt and that pain is still there. There's damage that I've caused that is still there. You know, and sometimes something may trigger a thought for her. Something may make her think of something from when I was living in my old ways. And, you know, so we have been going through this for a while. You know, we've been going through this for a while. And you know, I'll pray over the situation. I'll pray over the situation. We'll pray together. And you know, we did counseling. We've talked to people. And you know what? I know that it's my fault. You know, I take that. You know, it's my fault. I made some poor choices, and I've caused a lot of hurt and pain to my wife and to my daughter. You know, and like I said, you know, that hurt and pain, it still shows up. Every 3 weeks, it was popping up. Every 3 to 4 weeks, it was popping up. And you know, typically when I would go through this, you know, typically when I would go through this, I know that it was something I had to deal with, that it was something that I have to pray about. You know, something where I need to continue to be the shoulder, to continue to love no matter the way I'm being treated, no matter the attitude that I'm giving. You know, just like my wife was relentless for me, you know, over and over and year after year, I had to have the same relentless love for my wife, you know. And so one day there had been some tension in the house. And like I said, it had been going on for a while. You know, and I'm trying to break through, you know. I'm trying to break through. I come in, I get off work. What's up, babe? You know, how you doing? You know, all right, just good. You know, it's kind of... kind of cold, you know. I come in from work. She's cutting up dinner or something. You know, I'm like, what's up, babe? I'm going for a kiss. And, you know, it's kind of cold, you know. I'm like, man. You know, but I kept trying. You know, I kept trying and I kept praying. And I know it's an attack, right? You know, I know it's an attack. And I pray. One day it was a Saturday. It was a Saturday and I was trying to get through. I was trying to break through. I was trying to get some conversation. And, you know, I was still getting that cold shoulder. And finally, you know, finally I said, you know what? You know, I can't win. You know, I can't win with this woman. You know, I'm praying for her, Lord. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to. You know, like, what am I missing? And you know what? I said, you know what, man, I'm done. You know, I'm done. If you want to live like this, we could live like this. If you want to be two strangers living in this home, we'll be two strangers living in this home. And you know what? I said, I'm done. You know, just like that. You know, weak, huh? You know, and you know, and I said, you know, if I can't be the husband that my wife needs me to be, if I can't be the man that God calls me to be, then I'm failing. I'm failing my wife, I'm failing my family, and I'm failing God. You know, and that really wrecked me. You know, how can I share with people? You know, how can I reach out to the people about love, about the love of God? You know, if there's no love in my own home, you know, how can I go out and minister to the people if my own home is falling apart? You know, and that hurt me. That moved me. I just, you know, it really affected me. And I said, you know what? I'm done. And I said to myself, you know what? The first opportunity I get, and this was a Saturday, first opportunity I get, I'm going to go and I'm going to give me something to drink, you know? And that night, it didn't happen. Saturday night, it didn't happen. And I remember me and my wife, we weren't really talking. We were quiet. We were being quiet. And, you know, I wasn't angry. But my mind was made up. You know, my mind was made up. And I remember laying there in bed. I remember laying there thinking, plotting about, how am I going to get something to drink after church? You know, how am I going to get something? And you know what? And all this conviction was coming my way. You know, capture your thoughts, right? That's what you speak about. That's what you preach about. Capture your thoughts. You know, and get on your knees and pray. Get into the word. You know, reach out to a brother in Christ. You know, but I shut down and I hardened my heart and I made up my mind. I took off my armor and I disengaged in the battle. And you know what? That's a very dangerous place to be. You know? And you know what? So the next day, it was Palm Sunday. You know, it was Palm Sunday. We wake up, we get to church, and I'm trying to avoid people. You know, because I don't want to hear anybody come up to me and say, hey Marcus, how you doing? You know, I don't want to hear anybody come up to me, hey Marcus, what are you reading? You know, I don't want to hear anything. My mind was made up, and I was going to go for it. And I was about to take a huge step back, you know. And so worship starts. And, man, I love worship, you know. You know, worship is a time of praising God. Worship is a time of seeing God's truth back to him. You know, like he's a good, good father. You know, that even when I was your enemy, your love chased me down. But this morning, you know, I was hard, and I didn't sing. You know, I didn't sing, and I just shut down. And then we got into the service, you know, and we got into the service, and you know what? God spoke to me through the message. You know, Palm Sunday, God spoke to me through his word. God spoke to me through his message, and he said, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing? Keep going. Right? Like, what are you thinking? You know, and it was so plain and clear to me that it almost made me cry. You know, because I was to the point where I knew that God was speaking to me. And he was like, what are you doing? I got this. I love you. Keep going. You know, and man, it really hit home for me. It really hit home for me. But you know what? The point of the story is that there's a spiritual battle. You know, there's a spiritual battle. And you see, the enemy wants me to go back to where I once was. The enemy wants me to be the messed up dad, the messed up husband that I once was. You know, he's relentless. And the Bible says, you know, the Bible says that he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And, you know, I think too many of us aren't aware of the spiritual battle. You know, too many of us aren't engaged in the battle daily. You know, or maybe, right? Maybe too many of us just don't know how to fight back. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Ephesians 6, verse 12 says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. You see, right there, that's telling us that we're in a spiritual battle. You know, our fight is not with each other. Our fight is not with our spouse. Our fight is not with our kids or our co-workers or whatever it may be. You know, there's a spiritual enemy who's constantly on the attack. And we need to understand this, and we need to be mindful on how the enemy works and how to defend ourselves. You know, and there's a few ways that the enemy likes to get a foothold into our lives. And one of the ways that the enemy tries to keep us enslaved to sin is through our flesh. You know, we have a choice daily. You know, we could choose to live in the flesh or we could choose to live in the spirit. You see, the flesh wars against the spirit. And either we're fighting the flesh or we're giving into the flesh. You know, but we have a choice daily. You know, if I wanted to, I could give into addiction. You know, I could be promiscuous. I could be violent, lustful, whatever it may be. You know, but I choose not to. You know, I choose not to because I know that living in the flesh brings forth death. You know, nothing good comes of it. You know, and Galatians 5, verse 24 says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You know, you see, we are to no longer live, we are to no longer give in to the things that we once did. Right? We are to no longer give in to the things that we once did. As followers of Christ, we are to be fighting daily. You know, and how do we fight it? Right? Through knowing the word, knowing what's acceptable and unacceptable before Christ. You know, through prayer, you know, praying for strength daily to overcome the struggles and temptations that we deal with daily, whether it be overeating or sexual immorality, whatever it may be, you know, pray. You know what? And stay out of situations, you know, that open up the door to temptation, right? You know, if I have a problem with candy, there's no reason I should have candy all over my house. You know, if I have a problem with candy, there's no reason I should be, you know, walking up and down the aisles at the candy shop. It don't make no sense. Sometimes we set ourselves up, you know. It don't make no sense. You know, and another way that the enemy likes to attack us is through the world. You know, and maybe attack is the wrong word. Maybe attack is the wrong word because it's more like the enemy uses and influences the world to entice us and to deceive us. And to take our focus off of God. 1 John 2, verse 15 says, do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. Man, that's a hard one, huh? For when you love this world, the love of the Father is not in you. Wow. Yeah. We got to be careful right there, right? You know, and what does that mean? Do not love the world. You know, it says, do not love this world nor the things it offers you. You see, the world here that it's talking about, it's not talking about the earth. You know, it's not talking about mankind, right, humanity. You know, it's talking about the corrupt value system in which we live. You know, the ways of the world, all the thoughts and ideas and beliefs that are contrary to the word of God. You know, the world says you don't need God, right? The world says you could be happy with money. You know, if you had more money, you could be happy. You know, with more money, you could have a nicer car. You could have a nicer house. You know, you can go on vacations when you want to. You wouldn't have to worry about money, and that would make you happy. Right. So now maybe we're working Sundays. So we're not in church. You're so tired that you're not in the word. And now you're so busy that you're not in fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. You see how that works, right? Yeah. And so we work harder. You know, we invest more. We keep our eye on our bank accounts, and we chase happiness through currency, which is a lie. You know what? And don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. You know, working hard and investing your money, those are good things, you know. But the moment those things, you know, the moment that money consumes your heart, you know, that's the moment that we have been deceived. You know, that's the moment that the enemy gets the victory because we've bought into the lies. You know, we've taken our eyes off of God, and that's exactly where the enemy wants us, you know. Another way that the enemy uses the world to try to get a foothold into our lives is through entertainment, you know, watching TV and now social media. You see, from a very young age, we begin to have these desires and we begin to form these ideas the kind of people that we're supposed to be, you know, or the kind of people that attention is drawn to. And so there's this lifestyle that we try to live according to what we see and what we hear. You know, the world tells us what is popular. The world tells us what it is to be attractive and desirable. You know, what fun and excitement looks like. You know, what a marriage is supposed to look like. You know, the world tells us, you know, that premarital sex is acceptable. And not only is it acceptable, but it's the norm, right? And so we try to fill these shoes. You know, we try to be popular. We seek out excitement. You know, we try to fill a role that we've seen on TV or something that isn't even real. You know, and in the end, we've compromised our integrity. You know, we've compromised our morals. You know, we've hurt the people who love us. And we cause damage to our own body. But you know what? The biggest thing is that we've taken our eyes off of God. You know, and the longer that we give in to the world and its ideas and beliefs, the longer that we continue to suffer disappointment and heartache and emptiness. You know, and God knows this. You know, and God knows this. And that's why he says, love not the world nor the things it has to offer you. You know, he wants to protect us. He wants to protect us from heartache and emptiness. You know, but we have a choice. You know, we you know, we can fight back and be aware and stop trying to live up to the expectations of the world, you know, and we can live joyful, peace-filled lives, you know, the life that God calls us to, you know. The choice is ours, you know, and I want us to be aware. I want us to be prayed up. I want us to know the word so that we can fight back, you know. We need to be aware. You know what, when I had got to prison, there was a type of thinking that was instilled in me, you know, and that thinking was to always be ready. You never know when you'll be attacked. You never know when you'll have to fight for your life. You never know when something's going to happen, you know. And so, you know, you step out of your cell for yard and you're already in your peripheral, right? You already know what's going on around. You're aware. You know, as soon as I hit the yard, I scan the yard and I'm looking, you know, is everybody where they're supposed to be? Is it quiet? Is there tension? You know, and that's how I lived. You know, you wake up in the morning, you put your boots on. You know, if you're being self-fed, if the cops come to your door and they disrespect you and you got to fight with the cops, as soon as that door opens up, you're ready. You know, and that was the thinking that was instilled in there. And it reminded me of the spiritual battle because, you know, I couldn't live 13 years in fear, but I lived 13 years aware. You know, knowing what was going on around me, you know, knowing when something was coming at me. I didn't live 13 years in fear, but I lived 13 years aware. And that's like us. You know, we're not to live in fear. The enemy has no authority over us, but we're to live aware. You know, to be aware of his attacks, to be aware of the things that the world is trying to put in front of us to take our eyes off of God. You know, and it kind of bothers me sometimes when people say, you know, you give the enemy too much credit. And I don't give the enemy too much credit, you know, but I acknowledge his tactics, right? I'm aware of him, you know, I'd rather be aware of him and know his tricks and be able to fight back than to live unaware and blind to his ways, you know, right? You know, so there's the flesh, and there's the world, and then there's the mind. And you see, as followers of Christ, you know, this is really where the battle is fought. You know, the things that we accept into our lives, the choices that we make and the things that we believe, you know, it all starts here. It all starts in the mind. You know, and the moment that we accept Christ into our lives, you know, we become a new creation. We are no longer the people that we once were. You know, Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Right? Renewing of your mind. You know, we are to take on the mind of Christ. We are to no longer have the same thought patterns that we once did. You know, I used to have a routine. I used to believe that after work I needed a drink. You know, I used to believe if someone did me wrong that I was to retaliate. You know, but reading the word and praying consistently has renewed my mind. I understand now who I am in Christ. You know, I'm not the lies or the labels that the enemy has put upon me, and neither are you. You know, too many of us are living without a renewed mind. And you know what? That's a foothold for the enemy. Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You see, God calls us to a life of peace with him. God calls us to a life of freedom. You know, and I'm talking about freedom from the past. You know, freedom from the lies that we've been believing for too long. You know, and freedom from the hurt and shame that the enemy tries to keep us chained to. You know, all the things that God has called us out of, all the things that God has forgiven us for, you know, the enemy tries to bring up daily in our lives. You know, and once again, we have a choice. You know, we either believe the lies and continue to walk around with these fake smiles and these heavy chains, or every day, you know, we could choose to wake up and begin our day with prayer. Every day, you know, we could get into the word and we can begin to understand who we are in Christ. You know, we can stand on the promises of God and not grow weary when we go through the storms. You know, we could choose to be mindful of the words and conversations that we have with the people that God has put into our lives. You know, we can start to pray against the accusations and the lies that the enemy whispers to us daily. You know, we can begin to be mindful of the things we watch and listen to, and we can begin to live spirit-led lives where God begins to use us in these amazing ways, and God begins to affect the people around us through his love in us. You know, we have a choice. We can begin to understand who we are in Christ and fight through prayer and knowing the word, you know, or we can choose to continue to give the enemy, you know, a foothold in our lives, stepping stones into our mind to climb deeper, you know. And we need to know this. We need to understand this, you know. Stepping stones are lies from the enemy that we believe are truths. You know, lies like it was your fault, you know. Or lies like you're ugly or nobody could ever possibly love you, you know. Or lies like you really think you could be forgiven for that? You know, lies like you're not good enough or that you have no value. You know, footholds are anger, pornography, worrying, you know, and mind-altering substances. You know, those are footholds as well. You know, and these are just a few examples, but we need to be aware of these things. You know, we need to be aware of these things because when we give place to the enemy, that becomes a very dangerous situation. You see, he comes every day throwing the bait out there. He comes throwing the bait out there, and as soon as we give in, you know, as soon as we start to believe the lies, it gives him a place to attack. You know, and it gives him a place to attack, and that's a foothold for him. He's able to stand there, right, and he's throwing it at you all the time. And so he keeps coming there. You know, and in time, that foothold, it becomes a stronghold. You know, he starts to set up camp, and he gets comfortable. You know, as soon as you get into the word, as soon as you start to fellowship, as soon as you start to draw close to God, you know, he knows where to attack. He knows where to hit and when to hit every time. You know, it's his money shot. You know, so, you know, and a foothold, you know, a foothold turns into a stronghold, and a stronghold turns into a stranglehold. Yeah. Yeah. You see, when we don't fight back through prayer, through knowing the word and who we are in Christ, You know, that stronghold, it turns into a stranglehold. You know, and that stranglehold, the enemy begins to choke the peace out of us. The enemy begins to choke the joy out of us. You know, the love out of us, you know. And it don't make sense. It don't make sense for us to be losing a winning battle. You know, the fight has already been won. Right? The fight has already been won. You know, it's called the good fight for a reason. You know, it is done. You know, when Jesus was on that cross, he said, it is finished. You know, and it is finished. You know, we have victory in Jesus' name. We have victory over the enemy, right? You know, you guys, we have freedom in Jesus Christ. And you know what? Before I close this up, I want to share a quick story with you guys. You know, like I mentioned, I was away for a while. You know, I did 13 years. And so I was away from my family, from my loved ones for 13 years. And, you know, I remember the first 3 years of my term, it was the hardest, you know, because I still remembered Christmas. I still remembered Thanksgiving dinners with the family. You know, I still had those memories of and the things that I took for granted, like being able to go into my fridge and get something to eat, you know. I still remembered, you know, what it was to have a shade with, you know, trees and shade. You know, all the things that I took for granted. So I remember that stuff, you know, but I couldn't do 13 years living that way. I had to put those memories aside. You know, I had to forget about those things, you know, because it was all about focusing on where I was at, what was ahead of me, being aware and fighting for my survival. You know, that was my goal, was just to make it out, right? And you know what, during the end of my term, I started getting into a lot of trouble. And the last 2 years of my term, I did in solitary confinement. I did in administrative segregation. They took me out of general population, and so I was there. You know, I didn't know my release date, but I knew it was coming up. And one day they called me to parole. And you know what? It wasn't time for parolees to go home. Parolees, they go like 5 in the morning or something like that, and it was like 10 in the afternoon. So I'm like, it wasn't my day. It wasn't the time. And so I'm thinking, they're taking me to another prison to press charges on me for something else. And so I tell my cellie, I say, you know what, hey, when I get to where I'm going, I'll write you and I'll let you know what's going on. And so the cops pull me out, and they put me in a holding cell, and they take off my handcuffs. And they start giving me my property. I had 4 bags of property, 13 years worth of stuff. I hadn't had my property for the last 2 years of my term. So I got my bags, and I'm tripping out. I'm like, man, well, you know, they took my handcuffs off. I got my property. I haven't seen my property for a while. And it felt weird because the last 2 years of my term, like I said, I was in administrative segregation, and I was a controlled movement. And I'll go to the shower, I'm cuffed up. I go onto this cage where I worked out, I'm cuffed up. You know, I go to visit, my family comes, sees me. I got leg restraints. I got waist restraints. I'm cuffed up, you know. And so now I'm like a little bit of freedom. You know, I can move. And so the cops pull me out, and they take me to this mirrored window, and I have to tell them my name, you know, my information. And the two cops that are escorting me, they're looking at me. And I see them kind of tripping out, and I walk up, and they say, hey, did anybody tell you you're paroling? And I said, no. I said, is that what's happening? He said, yeah. And they said, yeah. So I get in the back of the van, and they're driving me up from Imperial Valley. They're driving me to Ventura. And all the way on the drive, I'm like, man, what's going on? Like, where are they taking me? Am I really paroling? Like, no. Like, you know, and I'm just tripping out on the streets and the cars, and I'm taking it all in. And I get there, and I get out, and there's two gentlemen that meet me there. One of them was my parole officer, and one of them was a detective. And so they introduced themselves, and they say, hey, we're taking you to San Luis. And I'm like, cool, you know, let's go, right? And so I'm driving up the coast. I'm driving up the coast, and it's been 13 years, you know. And I'm thinking about my son right now. When he goes to kindergarten to high school, when he graduates, that's like about around 13 years. I can't even imagine that. You know, that seems like a long time. And so here it is. I'm looking at the cars. I'm looking at the different colors, and I'm just tripping out, you know. And we get to the parole office. It's about 6 o'clock in the evening. The parole office is closed. And so there's nobody in there, but they need to do some paperwork. They need to take pictures. And so I make a, he asked me to make a phone call. My wife, I have her come pick me up. I asked her to come pick me up. And he's like, you're free to go. And I said, all right. And I'm sitting there looking at him like, I don't even know how to get out of this building. And so he must have seen the look on my face. And so he takes me downstairs. He's like, come on. He's like, go ahead, go over there by the DMV, in San Luis. Go over there by the DMV and she'll meet you over there. And I'm like, all right. You know, I've just been controlled movement. I've just been used to people being around me, telling me what to do, and what, you know, when to eat, you know, when to sleep or whatever. And he's telling me to just go. And so he sees that look on my face again. He's like, come on, I'll take you over there. So he takes me to the light. He takes me, and there's a light right there. And he wants me to cross. He's like, go over there. And so I have my four bags of property, you know, letters and books and pictures or whatever I had collected in that 4 years, that 13 years. And I'm walking across the street and I look back and he's like, go. And like, and he laughs and he's like, go. And I go over there and I sit there and I'm on that corner and I'm tripping on the trees and I'm tripping on everything, on just people, like, you know, we call like regular people, you know. Like regular people are driving their cars and the streetlights. I haven't seen the streetlights for 13 years, you know. And you know what? That feeling, you know, I don't know if you guys could imagine that. Could you imagine what it would feel like to be free after 13 years of prison, to be of being released, you know? And, you know, it was an amazing feeling, you know, to be free, that to know that I was my own man. You know, I didn't have to fight when somebody else was fighting. You know, I could make my own choices from that day forward. You know, and I had freedom. And, you know, it was so unbelievable that it really was unbelievable for me. Because I thought for months that they were going to come knock at the door and take me back to prison. I honestly believed that. Yeah, they were knocking at the door. I'm like, oh, man, here we go. You know, I didn't believe that it was real. That's how unbelievable it was. You know, but you know what? Even though I was free, you know, I was not free. You know, I was still in spiritual bondage, you know. And the freedom that I tasted that day is nothing compared to the freedom that God offers us. You know, it's nothing compared to the freedom that when we recognize the enemy as attacks and we begin to fight back and we begin to live in the truth that God calls us to, and we know who we are in Christ. You know, when we know who we are in Christ, you know, it's like, man, we are not that number on that scale. You know, we are not the voices that we heard growing up. You know, we are not defined by the way people have treated us in the past, you know, but that we have value, you know, that we are beautiful children of God and that God has a plan and purpose for each one of us. You know, we are loved, you know, and there's a freedom that when you get it, you never want to let it go. You never want to lose it. You know, and I just want to encourage everyone. I want to encourage everyone that whatever lie you've been believing, you know, whatever you need to confess, you know, whatever struggles got you tied down or whatever sin got you chained up, you know, I pray that you give them away. You know, that you surrender every area of your life today, you know, and that God give you freedom. You know, I'll be praying over you guys, and I want to encourage you guys to be aware, you know, to live aware and stay strong. You know, don't be like me where I almost fell and I almost went backwards. You know, stay strong in the faith. Stay strong in your walk. You know, and I thank you guys for your time, and God bless you guys.
I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up and join us up. Marcus, thank you for that word, man. It's great to be encouraged. Appreciate that. Yeah, it's good. Up close and personal. We're going to hear more of these stories and people's lives, what God's doing over the next 4 or 5 weeks together. Marcus, I think as you were speaking, it was like the Apostle Paul in Colossians. And I'm just going to just say this back over you. Man, we give joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption in the forgiveness of sins. Man, it's only because of Jesus Christ. It's only because of Jesus Christ. And I would echo what Marcus said. If you're here and you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's the only way out of the bondage. It's the only way out of the darkness. It's the only hope that we have. It's turning to Him and believing that Jesus is. And this is the cliff notes on Christianity and salvation, right? Romans 10. If you confess in your heart that Jesus is Lord, right? That means He has the right to call the shots in your life because He owns you. If you're willing to confess that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, which means that He is God, He has power over death because He is life itself, and He's the only one who can destroy those strongholds. If you believe that and confess that Jesus is Lord, you're saved. It's that simple. And so we invite you this morning, as we sing the song, maybe just to turn to the Lord this morning and say, God, you know what? I am a sinner. I'm in bondage. I need your help. Please free me. Forgive me. Make me new. And God's like, oh, that's a prayer I love to answer.